you very much. Temptation. I don't know about you, there was a time in my life where, as a young Christian, I was pretty convinced that as I went along in the years, that I'd be less tempted about things than I was. I thought, you know, you just being a randy young buck, you know, you just kind of get tempted by all kinds of stuff. But as you get older, you know, that kind of stuff just passes away. But you know what? Now, you may be different. But my experience is that stuff still hangs around. That same old stuff just keeps raising its ugly head from time to time. And things that challenged me when I was in my 20s can still challenge me now in my teens. You know. I think any believer who has been trying to be serious about following Jesus knows the experience of temptation. Plus, they know the tension and the burden of seeking to resist temptation. That temptation arises because of what, or that tension rather arises because of what temptation actually is. I found this definition, I think it's a pretty good one. This person said that temptation is the enticement of our God-given desires to go beyond God-given boundaries. And I think that's it. The things that we're prompted with are actually good things. You know, the desires that we have for food or for sexual expression, all those things are God-given. They're good. But the temptation comes to go beyond the boundaries that God has set for any of those things. You know, I think that when I think about temptation, I think it kind of gets the whole thing of temptation kind of gets summed up in a cartoon that I saw that originating from Family Guy. You know, Family Guy. I don't know if you can read that, but particularly the bottom part. You know, temptation. Do you really want to spend the rest of your life wondering? And isn't that kind of way we kind of think about temptation at times? You know, that it just, you just got to kind of wonder what, you know, just, and sometimes we don't want to spend the rest of our life doing that. You know the feeling, don't you? If you got red blood coursing through your veins, you know what this is about. You know it whether you are walking past a bakery or you're surfing the internet. That little prompt of curiosity arises in strength until you have allowed a God-given desire to be hijacked. Now, I've included temptation as part of this series on Overloaded because I think this issue of temptation has proven to be a pretty agonizing burden for a lot of believers. There is a lot of shame and a sense of failure that is often attached to temptation. I think, too, that some have even become convinced that as a result of the temptations that they have in their life that just don't seem to ever go away, that some have even convinced themselves that, well, Christianity must not work, at least not in my case, because they don't seem to be able to overcome the experience of being tempted about stuff. And you put all that together with our current culture that not only offers so many new and easy doorways to temptation, but our culture also that celebrates those who seem to throw off any restraints and revel in transgressing boundaries. You put all that together, and resisting temptation is often viewed by some as a form of suppression. That somehow if you resist things like this, you're somehow stunting your humanity. And that somehow you'll be a lesser person as a result. So resisting an appetite or desire is seen as something negative. And we all know how well that's working out for our culture at large. So anyway, this morning, I'd like for us to look at this issue briefly anyway. It's important because it does touch us all. And to do this, I want to begin with one of the most famous incidents of temptation that are found in Scripture, and it comes from Luke chapter 4, beginning with verse 1 of chapter 4. Again, you know this story, but let's read it again together. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." Well, the devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It's been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you will worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. This is the word of the Lord. You know, there's a lot to glean from this incident of Jesus' temptations, but I want to keep it basic today and keep it simple. And I want to suggest, arising out of this thing, first of all, two basic truths about temptation. And then I want to follow that with two strong resources in resisting. Two truths, two resources. First, two truths about temptation. And again, truth number one is this. Everybody gets tempted. Now, I hope that's not a shock to anybody. I hope that's not a surprise to anyone. But we need to hear this because I felt at times that there are Christians who feel like they are failing spiritually because they are struggling with some temptation. I think somehow I've met people who feel like that somehow there's a spiritual deficiency in them because of the fact that they have this struggle going on in their life. Somehow that they've been it's been implied to them somewhere on the line that if you're having these kinds of thoughts and feelings, there must be something defective about your Christianity. Well, I want to put that to bed today. This is a lie that Satan uses to discourage so many believers. If by any chance that's you, I've got something you need to see. Here's Jesus in that text that we read, God in the flesh, the most spiritual person to ever walk the face of the earth. And Luke tells us he was tempted. And get this, the depth of his spirituality was confronted by incredibly stronger temptations than many of us will ever be confronted with. Again, here's the point. Temptation is not in any way a mark of a lack of a walk with God. Because you're tempted doesn't signify anything. In reality, it's often a marker of genuine spirituality. feeling the pull of temptation says nothing about your spiritual life, at least at the beginning. Temptation will come to you just as it came to Jesus. Okay? I want to go further with this. I want to go further with this truth that everyone gets tempted. Did you notice what Luke said about this incident? Verse 1 says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Get this. The Lord doesn't always shield us from temptation. Many times he allows it in our life because he believes that it can produce a good purpose and a good result in us. I ask you, what might that good purpose be? Think about it. There's probably no evidence to the contrary, but I started going to the why again. And there's a reason for that. Do you know what that reason might be? Do you know what happens to muscles that don't get worked? Muscles that don't get worked don't get stronger on their own. They get weaker. And I believe the same is true for our spiritual muscles, for our spiritual reality. Sometimes our spiritual life needs to be exercised. Sometimes it needs to be tested and tried. And sometimes God will allow that sort of thing to come into your life, just like he did his own son, so that you might begin to discover and develop a new strength spiritually that you would not have had without that sort of temptation coming into your life. Now, again, that assumes something. That assumes that you have a right response. It assumes that you have ways of dealing with it. But you understand. There are times when God, in his wisdom, will allow things to come into your life that he could very easily keep you from by his power. But he doesn't, because he wants you to continue to be strengthened and grow spiritually through the effort that's required to resist. And temptation is one of those areas. Beloved, it is only in facing things like temptation that we discover the power of Christ's victory in our lives, to discover that it is a reality, that it's not just a preacher's talking point that I have to say on Sunday morning, but it isn't a reality. It's only in as you face those things in the strength and the victory of Christ that you realize that's real. That by flexing our spiritual muscles, we can grow stronger in faith and mature in character. I challenge you, try this. Next time some temptation comes your way, slow down your response to it. And rather than getting worried or discouraged or beating yourself up because, Lord, here it comes again. I'm not such an awful Christian. Rather than going in that place, why don't you go in the opposite place and just in that moment say, great, I've got an opportunity to grow here. God loves me so much and he's so concerned about my welfare. He's given me this great opportunity to realize that I'm stronger than I thought I was. I've got an opportunity to discover that he can be something for me here that won't defeat me, that I'll actually be strong in it. You know, you see the different sort of way of looking at this? Rather than allowing temptation to be something that drags you down and makes you feel like you're a failure, see it as God's way of lifting you up and helping you discover what he might be for you in that moment. I think that attitude alone will do a lot to dilute the power and the enticement to sin in one's life. We'll move along, because there is a second truth we must understand about temptation, and that is this. Behind every temptation is a great lie. Behind every temptation is a great lie. I think this truth is graphically illustrated in Jesus' temptations. You know, when you go back, you remember what happened in Jesus just prior to Jesus being set out there. He had gone through his baptism experience, and one of the declarations that happened as Jesus was baptized, the Father was present, the dove descended, and the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Keep that in mind as you go back and read what happened with the temptations with Jesus in the desert. Because what happens in each of the temptations is that the devil keeps trying to change Jesus' story. With the stone to bread temptation, the devil is asking Jesus, "Are you really going to trust your Father to provide for you? You're starving out here in the desert, man. Where is he?" With the kingdoms of this world temptation, the devil is asking Jesus, "Are you going to trust God in the way he understands power? You know, all that servanthood on the cross stuff. Are you really going to believe that? There's another way." Or with the pinnacle of the temple temptation, the devil is asking Jesus, "Is God really going to protect his son? Or has he abandoned you? You better try him out. You better test him." See, God is the one who directed Jesus' life. And the devil's real question is, do you really trust God's narrative for your life? You know, Dallas Willard writes, "This is the basic idea behind all temptation. God is presented as depriving us by his commands of what is good. So we think we must take matters into our own hands and act contrary to what he has said." All you have to do is go back to Genesis and see that working out. Adam and Eve and their sin was because somehow they thought God was holding out on them. Somehow they thought their life was being stunted. Somehow they thought they were missing out. Every temptation has its origin in a lie. To understand the lie behind temptation, I believe, is a fundamental step in resisting it. Again, think of the things that are temptations in your life. How is the evil one using this to try to change God's story about your life? What is the lie here in that place? What is he seeking to tell you of some supposed benefit or fruit that you're going to get, even though that benefit or fruit lies beyond a boundary that God has set? Ask yourself in that temptation, which narrative am I going to live by? Whose agenda will I follow? Those are two truths. Everyone is tempted, and behind every temptation is a great lie. Okay, you got that? But the real question becomes, so what do we do? What do we do? How do we respond as Christ followers? Well, first of all, I think our first response is we recognize when we are vulnerable. That's pretty important, to recognize when you are vulnerable. Again, it's interesting. Jesus begins his period of temptation on a spiritual high. It's one of the highlight moments of his life, that he's just going through this baptism experience. He's full of the Holy Spirit, and he goes into the desert, and wow, he is ready to take on the world. I don't know why this is so, but it seems that some of our greatest times spiritually seem to be followed very closely by times of severe temptation. Anybody known that experience? You've been to worship and you really felt connected to God in some way. You really felt convicted about, just the Lord's goodness. And you get home and boom, out of nowhere. Maybe you've been to a conference or a retreat and you've drawn so near to the Lord and it's been such a good time. It's been such a great experience. And you just think, I am just so on fire for the Lord. And half an hour later, you've got the most unbelievable stuff going through your head. Why is that? I don't know. Other than to say, it's part of the human experience. Again, this is one time you might be vulnerable. When you're just coming through and coming off of a great spiritual experience. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. Here's Jesus having that kind of experience. There are other times when temptation seems to be particularly effective. And these times are called, Charles Stanley refers to these as the halt times. H-A-L-T. Those times when you're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. Hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. When you are in that kind of space, you are particularly vulnerable. Those times and those feelings create their own vulnerabilities. And we need to recognize that those times make us very susceptible to deep temptations, and we need to be even more vigilant. It's when we are feeling these things that we are more likely to take the path of least resistance. And let me tell you, the enemy knows this. The enemy knows this. Look at Jesus. Jesus has got three of these working, at least that we know of. He's got hunger, loneliness, and he's tired. He's been out there fasting for 40 days. He's got three out of four halt, and he might be mad too. I don't know. Maybe he got. But it was at this point that Satan pressed hard his advantage. Now, if he would do that with Jesus, how much more with each one of us? Be aware of your vulnerability. Because when you're aware of the sort of times when you can be vulnerable, you get your shields up and you're more vigilant. That's the first thing. The second response to temptation is draw upon your spiritual resources. Again, you are not like some animal just conditioned by your inner desires, and you just kind of go along with as a robot responding to these things. You, especially as a believer, are not helpless in the face of temptation. You have resources at your disposal that give you power to resist. And that for, and these aren't there's nothing going to be here to be a great revelation to you, but you need to remember these things, especially right in the midst of temptation. The first resource is pray. Pray. Now, again, in a moment of temptation, when you're sitting there deciding you're going to click on that image, or you're going to take this and drink it or eat it or whatever, You're not going to have a particularly eloquent kind of prayer. In a moment like that, you're not going to say, "Oh, our great heavenly Father who rulest over all things wisely, we humbly lift up our heart and beseech thee that thou wouldst come." It's not going to be like that, is it? It's going to be more like Peter Schultz reminded me of something he learned as a teenager at Camp Cal this week. He said he didn't remember everything he learned at Camp Cal, but he remembered this. Somebody taught him about what were called arrow prayers. Arrow prayers. They're short and to the point. I think as you teeter there on the brink of temptation, you need an arrow prayer as simple as, "Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me." See, there's a lot about that prayer. There's a lot contained in that prayer. It recognizes not only your own weakness, but it recognizes His great strength. And you know, there is something in that moment where you introduce Jesus into that moment that seems to just break the spell of that temptation. That which a second ago seemed so powerful and so strong, suddenly with Jesus' presence there, it's not nearly as strong as it was before. Jesus, help me. We need to be that practical, that basic when we face a time of temptation. Pray. Invite Jesus into that moment. And see if He will not be faithful in that moment. The other resource is obviously the Word of God. The Word of God. Again, this was Jesus' response to every subtle lie of Satan. Jesus' response was always the same. It is written. It is written. It's written that man will not live by bread alone. It's written that you shall worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. It is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. From a deep well of God's Word, Jesus drew the refreshment and the sustenance to resist. I tell you, nothing will, a few things will break the power of a moment than to have a scripture drop into your mind at the moment of temptation. Something like, flee from youthly lusts that wage war with your soul. You know, something like that dropping into your mind has great power. It has the ability to strengthen you. This is why it's important to be regularly spending time filling your mind with God's Word. It's not just a preacher thing to get you to, you know, kind of fill in your hours. Well, you know, you've got so much extra time. Get in your Bible, you know, because that way we'll know you're being good then. You won't be. That's not the point. You don't need more information. You need more life that is the result of God's Word in you. And you never know when the Holy Spirit will use one of the truths that you have learned to save you from a lot of spiritual grief. I'm reminded of Psalm 119, verse 11. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. That's a good goal for all of us. Somebody said that's the right thing in the right place for the right reason. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Again, the word of God is that sword of the Spirit that is a great weapon in the battle with temptation. Its power and counsel is one of God's greatest resources in your life. Especially as you listen to the counsel that you find in God's Word around temptation. Oftentimes, God's word will say in the face of temptation, flee. Flee. Don't play chicken with something that you are particularly vulnerable with. Don't do this little thing, you know, as a Christian that we think we're being a little bit more attractive to people. We think, well, I'll just see how close I can get to this. Because the closer you go, the more difficult it is to step back. Scripture often says, flee, particularly in areas where you know you have a particular vulnerability. There are those times where, as God allows things to come into our life, He says, resist. Especially as you get stronger, stand and resist. But Scripture also says, and I think this is really important, when you think about this whole area of temptation, be accountable to someone. Tell somebody. Don't tell everybody. But have somebody, a godly, gracious, patient friend that you can go to and say, look, this thing's a struggle for me. I face this temptation. I need to, because you know, it's again, the sanitation of the light does wonderful cleansing. And it has a great power to dilute temptation. So find someone that you can actually talk to this about. Get it out there. And you will find that the Lord will use that. That's why Scripture tells us to confess our sins to one another. Not in front of everybody. Well, there's sometimes you should do that, but not regularly. But find someone so that the power of this thing can be brought into the light, and where in the light it'll shrink. Well, hopefully this has been some help. It strikes me that often in Christian circles, the advice has been around temptation, well, just don't do it. Just stop it. That working for anybody? No, I don't think that's it. I think that it's really what you're doing. What at the end of the day, with the things we've just talked about, is that the only way that you replace this desire for one thing is to replace it by a greater desire. I don't love this nearly as much when I love this more. This being the Lord's identity of who I am, the Lord's presence in my life, the Lord's goodness, the Lord's life that He's called me into. As I grow, and again, this is a process, it doesn't happen overnight, but as I face temptation, as I try to do good practices, as I resist, I find that my love for this just begins to wane because I love Him more. And it's only as I replace the love of one thing with a greater love do I begin to find the power to resist. Two final things. I'm sure that as you're sitting here today, there have been those of you who have thought of times when temptations come and you've failed. That's exactly why we come to this table week after week. We come here and remind ourselves that even on our worst days, God loves us as much as He does on our best days. And we remember that yes, that was not God's will for my life. But I have one who poured out His life in such a way that He says to me, there is therefore now no condemnation. And I'm going to continue to seek to live out a life of thanksgiving and worship. And I'm not going to let my failure in this one thing sidetrack me and keep calling me further. If you need to have an experience of the grace of God again today around something in your life, do that. Let the blood of Christ just flow over your life with all of its cleansing power and authority and be free. Because again, one of the things that Satan will use will be the discouragement around certain things like this to just ramp up a sense of temptation. One final thing. Did you notice the last thing that Luke wrote about this series? He said, when the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. I remember reading one time that this old preacher was getting to the end of his days, and somebody came to him and asked him, it was a young guy, came to ask him, what would you say to me about life? And he said to him, I'd say this. You will be sorely tested until your final breath. Now that might sound like bad news, but I don't think so. I think it's just a reminder that there will be times when the old stuff will come back. Just know how to respond. And when you do respond in healthy and godly ways, that's when you are resisting the devil. And God's promise is as you continue to resist, he will. You'll wear him out. You'll wear him out. Oh, he'll keep trying, but you keep wearing him out. Let's pray. Lord, I hate how the enemy has used this subject in the lives of your people to discourage, defeat, and rob them of their joy. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to have a healthy understanding of how it's lethal. And it does take us to places that are beyond your boundaries. And that's always death. But Lord, I pray that you'll help us to grow in all the realities of your kingdom. To access all the privileges of being your children. And Lord, may your life be lived in us and shine through us. In Jesus' name, amen.